Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you gotta check out NexGard Plus, Afoxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel Chewable Tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease, plus it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored, soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive.
Glimpsing what is sacred. In this podcast, Eckhart says it's vitally important that we become familiar with the mystical aspect of our lives. However, he explains, it is not something we can easily define, nor can we truly understand sacredness until we catch a glimpse of it. For that to happen, Eckhart says, we must learn to stop the mind with its incessant thinking and labeling so we can become present. Eckhart reveals that on a deeper level, presence is actually the presence of God, not the traditional idea of God, but a vast intelligence that permeates the entire universe. For many, he says, thinking and objectifying others as well as ourselves is a barrier to this direct experience. He explains the concept is beautifully illustrated by the Greek myth of Narcissus.
My life is a narrative. And for many people, because they identify it with a narrative, it is a heavy burden. It's full of regrets, grievances, and anxiety, and the burden of past and future. You may have heard in ancient Greece, there's a mythological tale of a young man. There's very deep wisdom in mythology, hidden in mythology. So there's a Greek myth of Narcissus. He looked into this pool of water and he realized that was him. And according to the tale, he fell in love with himself. I'm so beautiful. Suddenly, he wasn't himself anymore. A second self arose, which was an image self. This mythological tale describes the beginning of the human ego. An entity arises that is an image, a mind-made image of who you are. Instead of being who you are, you begin to have a relationship with yourself. There is a split, a duality has come in. So then you have me and myself. And now, of course, this mental image of me has grown and grown and grown. So humans now live with this image of who or what they are, which builds up from early childhood. So the world telling you who you are, you're this, that, you identify with all. Identify means you derive your sense of self from this, that, or the other. Possessions begins with a toy that a child calls my toy, mine, it's mine, it's me. And the toy becomes later, other toys come, possessions. Later the toy becomes your BMW. Or whatever toy you look for your sense of self. BMW may not be enough because too many people have it. Maybe a Ferrari will actually complete me, because Ferrari is very loud. The engine is very, very noisy. Everybody's going to look at me, and that the ego feels good. It feels enhanced. Or it could be that after you achieve the Ferrari, you suddenly come to a talk by Eckhart and you realize that was your ego. And then you say, okay, I'm getting rid of that. From now on, I'm only using a bicycle. And then you get your bicycle and then you see somebody else, this Lamborghini pulling up beside you. And you feel, look at that uninvolved human there. I'm obviously infinitely superior now. Okay, you can exchange one ego for another ego. This is the second one is the spiritual ego, can be just as strong as the non-spiritual, the materialistic ego. So possessions, attainment, abilities, even children already say, I can jump up this wall. You can't do that, can you? Look, I can do it, you can't. Ah, the ego feels better, and the other ego feels diminished. Oh, I can't. So the egoic self, then we now have devices that can amplify the egoic self. The phone, I have it somewhere. Over many hundreds and thousands of years, people had already projected this image of who they are, had a relationship with that image who they are, often a love-hate relationship. Some people hate themselves. I don't like my body, I don't like who I am, I don't like this. How awful way to live, I hate myself. It's much better to love yourself. So in New Age teachings, you learn to let go of this dysfunctional relationship with yourself, and then this is a good thing. It's much better to love yourself than to hate yourself. So, but you have to achieve that transition. Not easy if the hating yourself has been deeply ingrained. You may have to put little stickers on your bathroom mirror. I love myself. Oh, yes. And everywhere. You are lovable. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yes. And again, this is fine. It's a transitional stage. It's not the final stage. Sometimes in New Age things, it's the final stage.
Ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you gotta check out NexGard Plus, Afoxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel Chewable Tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease, plus it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored, soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus Chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive.
It's a lovely transitional stage, but really it's the stage of awakening is that you begin to let go of having a relationship with yourself so that you can just be yourself. And you have to be in the present moment in order to be yourself. So a relationship with yourself, that eventually is transcended so that you can simply be in the present moment. And let's go deeper now, so that in the present moment, which is a portal into the awakened state in this present moment. Let's see, who or what are you in the present moment without reference to any thought, without reference to any thought about who you are? That's an interesting pointer. In other words, what does it feel like to be yourself without remembering your past or thinking about the future, just in this moment? You don't need to remember your email address or anything. It's not necessary now, or what you ate yesterday. Without reference to past and future, do you disappear, or what is left of you without the narrative that usually you describe as my life? Without that memory of that you need to revive continuously, without that, what does it feel like to be you? And I cannot answer that, I can only give it to you as a pointer and slow down a little bit as I talk so that you can perhaps inquire, investigate internally what it feels like. What is the most essential thing about your identity? Are you still there when you don't think about your life, like now? Are you still there, and what is that? I'm not going to answer it, and I don't expect a conceptual answer. That's me. There was a spiritual teacher in India whose favorite meditation was asking his disciples to ask themselves, who am I? You can also ask yourself, what am I? Who or what? What am I? What am I? But don't answer it verbally, but feel or sense what it means to be alive or to be you. What am I? There's a gap in the stream of thinking. Then what is there when there's a gap in the stream of thinking, like now? And in that gap, there's a stillness, yes? There's also a sense of, there's something there, but it's hard to describe. There's a sense of presence, of beingness. And in that sense of presence, of beingness, you know that you are. You can say, I am. You know that without adding any qualifiers to it, without adding anything to the I am, it's the pure sense of being which is I am. It's very peaceful. You need an alertness to sustain it just for a little bit. Without the alertness, you will immediately fall back into the stream of thinking. But it's not, you don't use willpower to stop your thinking mind. That doesn't really work. So you don't hold your breath in order to stop thinking. It might work for a little while, but then you think even more. It's like a boiling kettle. Hold the lid on a boiling kettle. Just alertness. And so Jesus said, and what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. In some translations, it's translated as stay alert. What I say to you, I say to all, stay alert. That alertness is consciousness without thought. It seems, at first, just to be an absence. Okay, stillness, one could say, is the absence of noise in a stillness, an absence. It might seem at first as a kind of nothingness. And yet, if you stay with it for a little bit, just a few more seconds, stay alert, then you can sense it's not just the absence of something, it's also the presence of something. But not so much the presence of something, but the sense of presence itself, not of something. And so that is dimension of consciousness, that is a fourth dimension of consciousness, awareness or presence. And you encounter that in between two thoughts, or, for example, if you find it hard to stop thinking, don't use your willpower. Use a little device, use a little bit of help, for example, become aware that you're breathing. You become aware of, you're aware of the inflowing and outflowing breath. And your attention moves with the breath into the body and out of the body. And again your attention is there, and again your attention follows the breath into the body. Stop for a second and out of the body. It's helpful if you can breathe as deep as the abdomen, although the air doesn't actually reach it, but your attention reaches it. Now you may realize that when you become aware of your breath, which is a very ancient meditation method, when you become aware of your breath, you cannot be thinking at the same time. That's why the Buddha recommended this meditation, which is called Anapanasati, which is the awareness of your breath stops your mind, the thinking mind, automatically. The moment you start thinking, you lose awareness of your breath. So the Buddha said, his main teaching, I would say, is be aware of your breathing. He didn't say, stop thinking, because that seems too difficult. But awareness of your breath is possible, and automatically thinking subsides. What remains is a sense of alert presence. That is the awakened consciousness, and that is inseparable from what I call the vertical dimension of life. It is the presence in the now. There's no time in this sense of beingness, stillness, alertness. There is no time, and yet that is essentially who or what you are. That gets usually mixed up with content, a bit like diluted. So this is the consciousness that is in its pure form. When you start thinking, it's still consciousness, but it takes on a form, a thought form. When you perceive things, it's consciousness perceiving. The perception is a form in your mind. Consciousness has taken on a form, takes on many forms continuously. And there is a bundle of thought forms in your mind that make up the main part of your sense of identity. And that is when you identify with that and you don't know yourself more deeply in the vertical dimension, then that's the ego. But when you know yourself more deeply in the vertical dimension of the present moment, then all that that is that which makes up your personality. Of course, it's still there. Your story, the narrative of you, unchanged, it's still there. The difference, however, is you no longer look to it for your ultimate sense of self. You don't derive your true and ultimate identity from the narrative of your life that you tell yourself in your mind. Of course, it's still there, but you don't look to it for liberation or fulfillment or some future self. You don't even look to that for liberation or fulfillment, because all that is the horizontal dimension of life, and that is time, where time operates. And for millions of humans still, that's all they ever know. All they ever identify with is the personality conditioned by the past, problematic, problem-making, continuously, often very dysfunctional, coloring everything that you see and perceive. It's like through this veil of conditioning, you perceive the world and judge it through the veil of your mental conditioning. You don't see anything clearly. So this is the awakening into that Turiya, the fourth state of consciousness, the awakened state that all the ancient teachings already pointed to as a possibility. And it's here now, and it's more important now. It's not just something for very few humans to realize, but something that becomes available to more and more humans, especially now that we are being confronted collectively with various manifestations of adversity. And it's not the end yet, fortunately. It's not the end yet. There's more to come. So this gives you this dimension, the awakened dimension. This is where the resilience you find for living in troubled times. This is where you are rooted in this ultimately deep and unshakable rooted consciousness of being. You realize who or what you are beyond the personality. They're not ultimately two. The analogy I often use is the ocean and the ripple on the surface of the ocean. You are a ripple on the surface of the ocean as a personality, surrounded by other ripples on this horizontal dimension. Some ripples you like, many others you don't like. Some ripples are very unpleasant, a few others are great, you like them. And yet you're only a ripple and it's uneasy, and it's never quite enough, and others are bigger ripples and even waves some occasionally. Who is that guy? The wave. And life becomes unsatisfying. And at some point you meet another ripple who says, have you not realized who or what you are beyond your ripple existence? And you say, no, I haven't. Okay, then can you sense, if you stop thinking for a moment, can you sense the depths of you? Can you sense that there's more to you than this surface appearance? And the ripple goes, okay. And finally, the attention goes deep as the vertical dimension opens up, and the ripple goes, oh. And then, of course, the ripple won't know what to say, doesn't know what it is, but it senses something. It senses that its connectedness to something vast, infinite. It's the ocean. And it's not only senses its connectedness, it senses its oneness with that. That is self-transcendence of the ripple. And in this analogy, of course, you are the ripple. And this is the essence of all spirituality, is to sense that in yourself, in the vertical dimension of yourself, to sense it as yourself. And the moment we talk about it, it sounds as if it were something that you perceive, this sense, but it's only because we use language and then every sentence has a subject and an object. So you could say, I am aware of myself. Yes, it's true, but ultimately that's not how it is, because the moment you've said that, you've created a duality, I and myself. But when you sense the essence of who you are, there's no duality. The awareness of yourself is the awareness. So it's not aware being aware of something, but being aware of awareness itself, so to speak. You sense your own consciousness as consciousness. You know you are. That's an amazing thing. It sounds so simple that it's impossible to realize. To know that you are. Not as a particular this or that. It's pure beingness. You know that you are. And you can sense that you are. That is such a liberation and such a wonderful... And then they realize there is a depth to who you are that far transcends who you are as a personality. And that is, in some spiritual traditions, that is called liberation. And you can see why. It liberates you from yourself. Jesus also used the term salvation. You can use salvation, you can use liberation. So once you have a glimpse It's your mission to invite that dimension into your life more and more. Not just doing a meditation is good. If you have a meditation practice, if you meditate rightly, and many people don't meditate rightly, the mistake that can easily creep into meditation is you meditate in order to achieve a particular goal. Or you have a future self of an awakened master and you want to achieve that. And therefore, you have the idea that you are doing a meditation in order to get somewhere. Very hard to get rid of this mind pattern because everywhere else it operates. You always do something in order to achieve something. And in order to achieve something through your doing, you need time.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, afoxolaner, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus chews.
For everything, you need time. Even make a cup of tea, you need time. And this doing idea can easily come into the idea of meditating. So you're doing it in order to get somewhere. So you bring future time into your meditation unconsciously without knowing it. Whereas meditation, true meditation, is not a doing, but it's the realization of being. And there's no time in being. Simple realization that you are. Some techniques are fine. Eventually, every technique you have to let go, like a raft. Buddhism has the analogy or the story of a raft that you use to cross a river. You use a raft to cross a river. When you've crossed the river, you don't take up the raft and carry it around with you. So the raft is a technique or the teaching that can take you there, perhaps. But once you're there, you realize you don't need it. So whatever technique you use in meditation, eventually it is to be transcended. Or you can transcend it right now without any technique. This is why I don't call this a meditation. Because I love meditation, but there's another possibility, and that is any given moment to invite this awareness into your life, this dimension to see there is a possibility of awakening, simply realizing that you are in this moment. Awareness of awareness, the realization of being. Then this deepens, again, this is time, to talk about something timeless, and that becomes your identity. The being, not the personality or any achievement or whatever it may be in your past or future. That's fine. You handle your life consciously. It will actually improve when you are rooted in the unconditioned consciousness, because that's what it is. Then if you are rooted in the vertical dimension, things begin to actually also improve in the horizontal dimension, because that consciousness flows into your life. Not that it ever becomes totally free of challenges. The challenges continue. But the challenges will then only take you deeper instead of making you more unconscious, which is what they often do for many humans. Self-realization, you can use that expression. That's who or what you are beyond the personality. And then that is what Jesus calls when the There's a parable about he tells a parable about a man who builds a house, and the house is built on sand. And when the storms come and the floods come, the house is swept away. And then there's another man who, before building a house, he digs deep until he reaches the rock, which is deep. And so he reaches the foundation. After he digs deep and finds the foundation, and then he builds the house on the rock, and the floods come, and the rains come, and the storms come, and the house is not swept away, it stands. This is an analogy about states of consciousness, the state of deep connectedness with being, the vertical dimension, and the state of being trapped only on the horizontal dimension, when life becomes actually suffering, to use the term of the Buddha, frustrating, suffering, and then you can resent it all and so on. Now your mission is to invite this into your life throughout the day. Don't miss an opportunity. Yes, you still go about your normal activities, but allow yourself to become aware of the vertical dimension as much as possible. It seems at first there's a current in you that doesn't want that. There is the egoic self, and that will tell you that this is not the time to be present. You have other... I've got so much on my plate, I can't be present now. Don't talk to me about this. Look what I'm dealing with here. And you want me to be spiritual? Just, I'll be spiritual when I've solved all that. And then I'll find a nice place in the retreat center in Bali, and then I can finally... Of course, life does not stop challenging you, so don't wait. Have your life interspersed with that brief moments, initially brief moments of spaciousness. Brief moments of spaciousness. One conscious breath is already something. Let's say you're on your computer. Okay, one conscious breath. You look away from the screen. If you can, look away at the sky or a plant, anything natural, or close your eyes. But if you close your eyes, then your screen will still be there. You'll still see the computer screen. Awful. One conscious breath. A little bit of spaciousness has opened up. And during that time period, which if you measure it in time, it would be like maybe 10 seconds, whatever. But that is a little bit of spacious consciousness you have suddenly experienced. And you might even want to take a second conscious breath. Follow the breath with your attention. And maybe even a third. Although your mind says, yeah, I don't have time for this. But it's only 1 minute. So don't believe every thought that comes in and says, I have to deal with this first. No, I have to do this first. That's another parable in the Gospels where you're invited to a wedding feast. People get invited to a wedding feast and everybody says, let me do this first. First I need to sell my cattle. No, I need to do this first. Let me do this first. There's always something. Don't believe your mind and says, not now. Can't do it now. There's nobody who does not have 1 minute to be aware of their breath, unless it's an emergency. You have to get to the hospital now, okay. Get into your car every time. I recommend you close the door and stay just a moment of spaciousness. I suggest half a minute to 1 minute, but don't measure it, just feel it. Okay, I'm going to do 1 minute now. And then you're just internally already trying to get to the end of it. You have to be there. Anytime you're waiting for something, be present. If you cannot just be present, that this ability may arise a little bit later, when you can just decide, so to speak, not the right word, to just be free of thinking, but just be aware. So that comes a little bit later, just the ability to just have that space. Somebody asked me some years ago, what's your greatest achievement in life? And I said, well, my greatest achievement is I don't think when I don't have to think or don't want to think. I don't need to think. That's my greatest achievement. But it's not really an achievement, is it? It wouldn't get me a job. I'm applying for a job in my CV, resume, can be free of thinking. So it's not an achievement. Again, it would be a misperception to call it an achievement, because that discovery, this realization, that dimension of consciousness has already always been there. In that sense, it's not an achievement. I made it. No, you didn't do anything. You just became aware of being, which is not a doing. It sounds like a doing when you talk about it. You become aware of being, not an achievement, because being is the essence of who you are. And to know the essence of who you are is not an achievement. And so, wow. But until you're able to do that, it's not a doing, we just talk about it that way. Use the breath. There are other entry points also into this present moment, which is present moment awareness. Another entry point is through the feeling of inner body. I call it inner body awareness. That can be also a portal into presence. And that is very simply sensing the aliveness that is within your body. This is often can easily be connected to breath awareness, because when you breathe deeply into the body, you can sense down into the abdomen, and you can sense there's an energy that begins, you begin to realize there's an energy there. It's not what you sense, it's the animating presence, one could say, in the body, not the physical body. And that's inseparable. It's a manifestation of consciousness, the consciousness that keeps the body alive, that inhabits the body, the animating presence, the inhabiting presence. And you can sense it. And you can sense the inner body. From there, every cell of the body is alive. Many humans are never present in the body. So inner body awareness is another portal into presence. You can either start with breathing into the as deep as the abdomen, and then feel the energy spreading from the abdomen into the rest of the body. It's always been there, but now you sense it is. And then you get a global sense of aliveness throughout the inner body. And that becomes your portal into presence, and it becomes an anchor for presence too. And after a while, perhaps the body image disappears and there's just presence remains. So these are closely connected, the breath awareness and inner body awareness. And they're all connected. If you have one, the others automatically come in also. Another entry point, highly to be recommended, is sense perceptions. When you come into the present moment, the first thing you may become aware of is the world that surrounds you. In other words, you become more aware of your sense perceptions, visual, auditory, and alertness arises. So the alertness is there behind the sense perception. You're more aware of any sounds you hear, whatever you see. You look around, you listen. Perhaps other senses are involved too. If you're out in nature, perhaps you can feel the air, a breeze on your skin, or the warmth of the sunlight on your skin. Perhaps there's a scent, especially out in nature, whatever you can smell. So sensory awareness can also be an important entry point, but it only works if you let go of interpreting what you perceive. And that's not that difficult, because interpreting is a habit. a deeply ingrained mental habit. Whenever you look at something, you immediately have to call it something. And it's not necessary. You can actually more deeply perceive things, more clearly, more deeply, at a deeper level, sense the aliveness that's in everything. If you don't interpret, label mentally, compulsively. So here and now, as I talk about it, practice here and now, you see the totality of this room. Perhaps a word may arise, beautiful, but you don't need to interpret it, just take it in, just be the awareness for the sense perception instead of labeling it. Be the awareness. So you become like a little child that looks at the world for the first time. That's perhaps why Jesus said you have to become as little children, otherwise you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Because a little child hasn't got the conceptual knowledge, the mental concepts yet. And you need an alertness to sustain it for a little while. It doesn't have to be long. It's a beautiful spiritual practice, easier in nature than in the city. Because in the city, everything is made by the human mind. Cars, buildings, and so on. Although you might have a bit of sky or a tree here and there, that's good. But it stimulates the mind much more, city landscape. Once the presence, the power, so to speak, has grown in you, then you can be in the middle of a city and also be in that state of pure awareness. But first of all, in nature, it's easier, quite a bit easier. You go out into nature. Sky is beautiful. I love sky, the changing sky. I love weather, all kinds of weather, and to actually really perceive the weather, the changing weather. Doesn't matter what it is. Soon you will have opportunity living in this city to experience a lot of wet weather. And so instead of when you open up the curtain and it's, let's say, it's the middle of December, or it's already gone on to January or February, and it opens one more time and then look at the sky and the mind might say, oh no, not another rainy day. You've labeled, why not open the curtains and just look with now no judgment, no interpretation. It's a spiritual practice in itself. And then you perceive more deeply and you know things non-conceptually. If you look at a flower or a tree, occasionally choose one tree, and I hope this doesn't sound too kind of new agey, but this, it's beautiful. You look at a tree and give it attention. Just give it some attention. The movements, the quivering leaves, and there's a slight breeze. It's alive. There's an aliveness there that is hiding behind the surface appearance of tree. Even the tree has a sense of beingness. You can sense its being deep, more deeply than you could ever sense it if you were labeling it mentally. Well, there is a time for labeling things too when you communicate and so on. It's useful. You need to have both. The conceptual knowledge is helpful and necessary in this world, but if you're confined on the level of concepts, then you are trapped there. You're trapped in the horizontal dimension. You're continuously conceptualizing. The deeper connectedness with life is missing. So it creates a continuous sense of separation. So you need both. I emphasize this non-conceptual knowing that is part of being present. And I recommend that you, when you experience new things, there are always two ways of experiencing. Perhaps if you started traveling again, let's say you go into some unknown place and there's a beautiful building. Let's say you go into a temple or a cathedral, ancient cathedral somewhere. And how do you experience it? You experience it through learning about it, which is one way. It's nothing wrong with it. You can hire a guide that is a recording that takes you through the cathedral and explains everything. Fine. Or you can walk around with your phone and see, look for photo opportunities for this, or yourself there and there. That's me there, and that's me there, and there's another me there. Or you can also experience it by just entering this magnificent, let's say it's a magnificent building or temple or cathedral. You can enter and you go, wow, 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 that's a nice word, wow. And then you walk around, take in the entire energy field of it and the beauty of the various things that you see, and you sense the totality of this room, and then you come out of it, and conceptually you've known nothing, but yet you have experienced it very deeply. That's another way of being there. And if you can, after that you go through one more time and learn about it conceptually. And if you have even more time on the third day, you go in, and then you will have learned about the history of this place, etc., etc. And also you have the ability to experience it beyond concepts, and you can be in both worlds at the same time, where you know things, but in between the knowing, there are always spaces of pure awareness. So you can interpret things and know things about it, but not confined to that. You can also experience it more deeply. You need, it's vital to have these two dimensions in your life. Otherwise, and I emphasize, of course, the non-conceptual, because the entire world is lost in the conceptual. The entire world is lost in conceptual identities, conceptualizing everything, manufacturing identities for other people, judging concepts, not being able to relate deeply beyond the conceptual personalities. All that is a huge limitation in our lives, to be just trapped on that level. We need both, of course. So you can look at a flower. It's unbelievable, but there's so much there, and that goes beyond what you see. There's something, and again, it also goes beyond concept. When you call a tree, whatever the tree is, it's an oak tree, usually then you have the illusion that you now know what it is. It's an oak tree. Okay, now let's go on to the next thing. What tree is that? Oh, that's that. That's a Douglas fir. Okay, Douglas fir. Okay, what's the next thing? It gives you the illusion that you know what it is when you have attached a label to it. But there's a possibility of relating to it at a deeper level. And then we find a completely different relationship to nature, where you relate nature at a much deeper level than just the conceptual. And that needs to be awakened. It's part of the awakening consciousness to realize that connectedness with nature and the sacredness of nature. The sacredness, and sacredness is not something you would hear very often these days. And sacredness is not something that one can easily define. The conceptual mind asks, what do you mean by sacredness? You cannot know what sacredness means unless you have at least a glimpse of sacredness. And you can have a glimpse of sacredness when your mind stops and you become present, and even here, when you become present of this spaciousness in this room, you become present of not only what's in this room, but you become aware of the space of this room. And so the sense of presence is not only within, it's also without. There's a presence here that the mind cannot even know of it. It can't interpret it. Yes, it's a little bit mystical, but it's vitally important to have access to that dimension in your life. Vitally important. And this is, I don't use that word very much, because it's so many misconceptions around the word God. But in a deeper sense, you could say that presence is the presence of God. not the traditional authority figure in the sky, but something that pervades a vast intelligence that pervades the entire universe, and that is also the essence of who you are. The consciousness of you, I call that the emanation of the light of God, that is the consciousness that you are. And so when you know yourself as consciousness, then that is, in theistic terms, is the beginning of God realization. Not that you are God as this little thing, but you can feel your connectedness to something vast, and that you are actually carried by it, and you're only temporarily a ripple on the surface of existence, but in essence, you are the ocean. And that is a liberating realization, that who you are in your essence. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
I'm Oprah Winfrey, and you've been listening to Eckhart Tolle, Essential Teachings, the podcast. You can follow these essential teachings on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you haven't yet, go to Spotify and follow this podcast. Join us next week for more enlightened teachings from Eckhart Tolle. Thank you for listening.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, afoxolaner, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.